Welcome into another edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you as always on a Saturday morning talking all things Florida Panthers hockey. Dan Day on the other side of the glass. And, well, welcome aboard once again. The Panthers are in the midst of the Four Nations face-off break. The Four Nations face-off has been pretty entertaining, to say the least. Everybody's played at this point. Today, you've got all four teams in action. Sweden and Finland playing a matinee game. And then Team Canada, Team USA tonight, the much-anticipated big showdown there. And who knows, maybe they'll play again coming up on Thursday night in the championship round. We'll just have to wait and see how things unfold, but it's been an exciting tournament so far. You had Canada over Sweden in overtime to kick things off a few days back. You had Team USA with that 6-1 rout over Finland, and the Tkachuk brothers making a huge impact a couple of nights ago, and everybody gets it going once again. All four teams play today. So lots to follow there as far as the Four Nations face-off is concerned. It's been a lot of fun, no doubt about that. We're going to look back at the last Panthers game 1 week ago. Just a little refresher for you, because we talk all things Florida Panthers, and the Panthers are in the midst of this break right now. They won't play another game until a week from tonight when the Seattle Kraken come to town, Amerant Bank Arena, 1 week from tonight, 6 o'clock face-off. Of course, we'll have it for you as we always do across the Panthers radio network, but week from tonight at 6, Seattle, their annual regular season visit. You don't want to miss that when the Panthers get back on the ice and get things rolling, leading the Atlantic Division. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. And that's the big component there. The Panthers at the Four Nations face-off break, leading the Atlantic Division. I think preseason, if you offered anybody that proposition, they would have signed for it to have a division lead at the Four Nations face-off break. Of course, the Panthers and the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to meet three times down the stretch, and it's going to be a sprint to the finish line once we come back from the Four Nations face-off break. But three games between the Panthers and Toronto, who's currently second in the Atlantic Division down the stretch, and those very well could decide the Atlantic Division. And, well, who's going to stop by? Who better to stop by and talk about the Atlantic Division and talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs than our friend from north of the border, Dave McCarthy from NHL.com, SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio. He's going to join us coming up in segment number two. So we'll talk all things Atlantic Division. We'll get caught up on the Toronto Maple Leafs, because Panthers fans, I know, Panthers and the Leafs, they have a bit of a rivalry going. They're going to see each other a lot. Three games that could decide the division. Good to keep your fingers on the pulse of what's going on up there north of the border with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So we'll have that conversation. We'll cover lots of things coming up in segment number two. And again, just talk about what's coming up. We'll talk a little Four Nations before we round out the hour. And lots to get to. So let's dive right in. Of course, the Panthers and the Kraken a week from tonight when the Panthers resume action. 6 o'clock, FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. And Panthers fans, remember, you can join the 93 Society email club to stay up to date on all things Panthers. Be the first to know about special ticket offers, exclusive events, and so much more. Sign up now at FloridaPanthers.com. And Panthers fans, don't miss your chance to secure the limited edition Sergei Bobrovsky bobblehead ticket package. Secure tickets to four games and an exclusive bobblehead starting at just $125. Package on sale now at FloridaPanthers.com. Well, 1 week ago tonight, the Panthers, they most recently played. It was a big win over the Ottawa Senators last game before the break. Panthers took that one convincingly. 5-1 was the final score. Just a refresher. Here are the highlights from that last Panthers victory. Then we'll have some reaction sound as well, as the Panthers were taking that win into the break. Here are the highlights from that win 1 week ago as they aired on the Panthers Radio Network.
Barkov plays it down behind the net, then for Sam Reinhart. Near side, Matthew Tkachuk, out of the right circle, looks around. Matthew Tkachuk, right circle, shot, and he scores! Matthew Tkachuk ties the game! A power play goal for Matthew Tkachuk with 13:42 left in the second. All kinds of patience. He picked his spot and he found it, and this game's all knotted up. Carter Verhaeghe back up top. Matthew Tkachuk at the blue line, lobs it to the net, tip, they score! Tipped in front, and that one took a redirection past Omar, and it looks like Barkov may have gotten a piece of that out in front of the net. 2-1 Panthers, they cash in during the delayed penalty situation. Brady Tkachuk up the near side for the Ottawa Senators. Whips it on goal from a sharp angle, and that one took a hop out toward the slot area. The Panthers maintain control. Nate Schmidt now. It's going to be carried in. Forsling a shot, and he scores! Gus Forsling gives the Panthers a 3-1 lead from the high slot. Just let a wrister go, and he beat Allmark. Forsling plays it on for Rodriguez, and in he goes over the Ottawa line. Drops it back to Chuck Bennett. One-timer, he scores! Sam Bennett on the one-timer upstairs. He got a hold of that one. No chance for Allmark, and the Panthers take a 4-1 lead. Long shot to the empty net, and they score. And it's Anton Lundell from a long distance. Able to bury that one. That's going to go in the books as a shorthanded goal. The Senators will bring it out. Fans to their feet here at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise. Last game before the break for the Four Nations faceoff. Panthers get it clear. The final seconds will tick away. And the Panthers, 5-1 winners tonight over the Ottawa Senators.
So that was the Panthers' last game, a win over Ottawa 5-1 1 week ago tonight. So just a refresher there, the Panthers playing some great hockey heading into the break. Here's Matthew Tkachuk postgame after that win over Ottawa on the victory and just on the idea of playing well, having a game looking the way they want it to heading into the break.
I felt like we were just faster. We had the puck a lot. We were, you know, quick ups, and everything was just going up ice as fast as possible. We weren't, you know, over stick handling yet or trying to make the perfect play. We were just skating hard and being close to and supportive of each other. Yeah, I think we've been you know, feeling good about our game too, and you know, even the games that we haven't won, we felt good about it the last, you know, month or so. It's been a tough schedule, like everybody knows, but everybody's had that. But so that's no excuse, but we're definitely happy with the way we're going into this break. And I think it's coming at a great time for us. And I mean, everybody that's, you know, got vacation for the next, you know, 2 weeks, they very much deserve it. And then the rest of the guys got some business to take care of. So it'll be fun.
Matthew Tkachuk on the win last time out a week ago over Ottawa. I ain't talking about that business that some guys may have to take care of, that being the Four Nations faceoff. We'll talk a little bit about that later on in the hour. Sam Reinhart also playing on the Four Nations faceoff for Team Canada, but here he is on that win over Ottawa, the last Panthers game a week ago.
So I liked our jump from the start. You know, you lose a special teams battle in the first. Thought we upped our intensity and started carrying the play in the second, and then I love the way we played with the lead in the third. It's been a grind since Christmas. It's been a lot of hockey. So, I mean, it's a bit of added juice for a lot of us and a very good rest for some others. So it's coming out a good time.
Now we will get Paul Maurice's thoughts on the Four Nations face-off here in just a moment. But first, here's Paul Maurice on the win over Ottawa, that final game before the break, and how important it was to have that performance they had in that last game before the break 1 week ago.
I thought the first period, they thought we were good. So were they, but they had a little bit of an edge, I thought, just on some sharpness. And then after that, we kind of matched the intensity of it. They've fighting for their playoff lives, and they've had a good run, and they got some guys out of their lineup. I think both teams a little under gas. That's 5-8. But I like the way we got stronger as that game went on. So, and it was consistent looking, really, from January on. We've been a pretty consistent looking team. Our results weren't in January, but our game was good, and I thought we finished off the right way for the break. The Ottawa Senators are a completely different team than they were 2 years ago. Much better, much improved. They've three or four really important players out of their lineup. We went a stretch where we weren't shooting the puck, I don't think, nearly as much. We also didn't get the zone time that we've been shooting for, and I think we're going to be able to put more pucks to the net. But this game was, I know it's 5-1 because it breaks toward the end, but it was very tight and hard. It was battled well. I thought it was also more disciplined than because Ottawa and Florida were both, you know, trying to find that their soul 2 years ago maybe, and now both teams are good, and they got to be smart about how they play.
Paul Maurice right there, Panthers head coach after the win 1 week ago over the Ottawa Senators. And here he was also after that game commenting on why he's interested in the Four Nations faceoff.
We have so many people going, and that's what drives my interest in it. I also think there's really good things outside of the NHL. So the NHL is really exciting, but if there's an Olympics, I want to see it. World Cup, want to see it. The Four Nations, we've got so many people involved with it. personally, I'm very interested. If we didn't have as many people, I still think it's really, really good for the game. It's actually best possibly for the fans, because they can cheer for a different team. They get to cheer for their country in season, which I think is great. But the guys that get to go to this tournament, it's they won't forget it. You play 16 years, you're going to remember your good runs if you get fortunate enough to win a cup, for sure. But from an individual point of view, nice recognition for those men, because they'll always remember playing for their country.
Panthers head coach Paul Maurice there talking about why the Four Nations face-off had his interest going in. Of course, the Panthers very well represented, more players in the tournament than anybody else, a handful of staff members additionally involved across the different teams, and a ton of Panthers representation in a tournament that has garnered a ton of interest so far. And again, certainly a big day coming up in the Four Nations face-off, Finland-Sweden this afternoon, and then USA and Canada coming up later on tonight. Going to be a fun day of hockey at the Four Nations face-off. We've got a fun rest of the Panthers Insider Show coming your way. We're going to step aside here, but when we come back, we'll talk all things National Hockey League. We'll talk about the Atlantic Division race as it's shaping up. A lot of Atlantic Division conversation coming up with our friend North the Border from NHL.com and SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. Dave McCarthy's going to stop by. He's at every Leafs game. He's on the ground covering the Leafs every single day. So we'll talk about the Atlantic Division race. We'll talk about the importance of those three Panthers-Leafs games coming up between now and the end of the regular season that could determine the top spot in the division. Lots to get to with Dave McCarthy coming up on the other side, folks. For Dan Day on the other side of the glass, Doug Plagans with you. This is the Panthers Insider Show, just getting started on a Saturday morning right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.
Let's get back to the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Hey everybody, welcome back here on the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you as always, talking all things Florida Panthers and beyond on a Saturday morning. And well, we're in the midst of the Four Nations face-off, the National Hockey League on a little bit of a hiatus, a much-needed hiatus, I think a lot of folks would tell you, as the teams are going to be gearing up for a sprint to the finish line in the regular season. For a lot of teams, the contenders in the National Hockey League looking to Game 83 and beyond. Doug Plagans here with you as always, and a special guest stopping by here this segment to talk Atlantic Division, to talk Eastern Conference, to talk National Hockey League as a whole. Maybe we touch on a little bit of Four Nations face-off. My friend and yours from NHL.com, from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio, where he hosts the Sunday brunch, and you can hear him doing great work throughout the week. Dave McCarthy, kind enough to stop by. Dave, how are you this morning? And once again, thanks for your time.
Oh, better than I can ask for, Doug. It's always a treat to be able to join you fine folks down in Florida. So thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for stopping by, like I said. But Dave, diving into it first, I guess just looking at it from a surface level, I guess from the broadest scope possible, it's been a sprint to this point in the schedule. There's going to be a sprint to the finish after the Four Nations face-off. But I think plain and simple, we've been treated to a pretty entertaining National Hockey League season to this point, wouldn't you say? I can't remember a year where the phrase competitive balance would be more front and center. I think you have more teams that are in contention for the big prize than in a number of years prior.
No, without question, Doug. And I don't know if it's a function of the fact that we're both getting a little older, but I also can't remember a faster first 55 games or so of a season than this year. Honest to God, I turn around and it felt like training camp yesterday. And now here we are, once we get up and running again, like a 6-week race to the end of the regular season. And there's going to be a lot on the line, especially here in the Eastern Conference and in the Atlantic Division. Top spot in the division is still up for grabs. Looks like it's going to be either Florida or Toronto. You know, and as we all know, they play each other three times down the stretch here, which means that the decision for the division could be involved in those three head-to-head matchups between Florida and Toronto. There's battles for playoff spots. Really, quite deep into the conference. There's a lot of teams here that are still in the mix, and I think that's exciting to see. To me, there's nothing more exciting coming down the stretch than good quality playoff races and even jousting for positioning for playoff matchups. So I've been really entertained, and coming off last year where the Panthers won the Stanley Cup, they've been a pretty impressive team here as they look to try to repeat, and I guess match the feet of their brothers up the road a little bit in Tampa Bay, make it a third consecutive visit to the Stanley Cup Finals for a team from the great state of Florida.
Dave McCarthy, NHL.com, SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio, kind enough to stop by here with us on the Panthers Insider Show. And should preface for the folks out there who are new to Dave's work, he's north of the border, covers the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's there in Leafland day-to-day, doing great work as always. So why don't we start there, Dave, because you mentioned these two teams, the Panthers and the Maple Leafs, they've been 1-2 atop the Atlantic for the bulk of the season. They're going to see each other three times down the stretch, I believe twice in the month of April, right there at the end, and that could decide the Atlantic Division. I guess first, looking at the Toronto Maple Leafs, the season they've had under Craig Berube, what's the biggest thing you've noticed different for the Leafs this season now that you've had a chance to digest a lot of it under Craig Berube than in prior seasons?
Well, they've put an emphasis on structured play, and that's something that was at the forefront of the reasons as to why Craig Berube was brought in. He's never going to be a guy that coaches the most exciting version of hockey. But what the Leafs were looking for was a sustainable style of hockey that is more closely resemblant to the way the game is played in March and April and into the springtime than it is in the first 3.5 months of the year. And I think that was a big problem for the Leafs in years past, was that they've got supreme talent, right? Like, that's not up for debate. They've got all kinds of skill. And they can score with ease during the regular season, at least in past years. But what happened was, like, I don't know about you, Doug, but I don't know if any game changes more from regular season to postseason than the game of hockey does. Like, baseball is baseball. Basketball maybe gets a little bit more physical inside the paint and that type of thing. But at the end of the day, you're either getting open looks and you're draining your shots or you're not. And football is a contact sport, and there's so few games, every game means a lot. For hockey, there's so many games, and it is a contact sport. The way you expect a team to play in the second, third, fourth round, even the first round, you can't play like that on a Tuesday night in November and repeat that 82 times. You just physically can't do it. So the game changes dramatically, and what's happened for the Leafs is that when the game has changed, it's been a shock to their system, so to speak. So the Leafs have not been nearly as much of an exciting team to watch this year, but they've been a much more efficient team in the way that they've played, grinding games out, winning with their B game from time to time. When they're not scoring 5 goals a night, can you win games 2-1, 3-2, that type of thing? And they've been much better in that regard. So I think for Toronto, what they're banking on is the fact that as the regular season goes on, they continue to build their game to where they get to the playoffs, and it's more of a continuation into the second season rather than a slap in the face and what the heck is this, and we're in over our heads, and now we're down 3-1, and now the series has gotten away from us. So that, to me, is the biggest difference under Craig Berube. They're having trouble scoring compared to in years past, but they're not giving up as many goals. So when everything comes out in the wash, are you further ahead? You know, that remains to be seen once we get into the playoffs.
Dave McCarthy, NHL.com, SiriusXM, NHL Radio here with us. And Dave, got to ask you too, because Toronto Maple Leafs have three players on their current roster who were a part of the Panthers' run of the Stanley Cup back in the spring in Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Steven Lawrence, and Anthony Stolarz, who has worked his way back from injury between the pipes. You talk about the Leafs not giving up as much. I think you could probably start with what Stolarz has done when he's been healthy this season as being a big part of that. But those three guys, I know they were all only Panthers for one season, but they're going to be a part of South Florida sports lore forever.
Sure.
What have those guys meant to the Toronto Maple Leafs going over to that side this season?
Well, they've all been really effective, and I think on top of their play on the ice, I love all three of those guys individually. Like, you know how it is, Doug, right? You go around the room, and as the season wears on, you build up good relationships with certain guys, and it's not every day going to them for a quote or something on the record, but I call those type of guys temperature takers, right? You can just go up and shoot the crap with them and, you know, talk a little bit about hockey, talk a little bit about life, just sort of get the vibe on how things are feeling. And that kind of informs how you approach the rest of the day in terms you know, what type of stories you're digging into or how you should approach certain things. You know, if you lose three in a row and on the outside it looks like the sky is falling, but you talk to a guy and, you know, here's what's going on. A few guys are, you know, battling a bug and, you know, we're kind of grinding right here, but we're confident. We're not feeling like, so you know what I mean? That kind of changes the way you approach it. At least it does for me, and maybe not everybody who's looking for clicks, but that's besides the point. But with all three of those guys, I consider them to be those type of guys. Certainly Steven Lorenz and Oliver Ekman-Larsson, try not to bother the goalies that often. But all three of those guys, great in the room, great to deal with. And I can understand why they were so valued in Florida. Steven Lorenz is a guy who grew up in Kitchener-Waterloo, which is about an hour and a bit northwest of Toronto. And this is a guy that grew up, and I know some of your listeners going to be rolling their eyes. Here we go again, grow up dreaming, playing for the Leafs, but he did, right? And that's why he came to Toronto, you know, on a PTO and was able to parlay it into a contract. He wanted the chance to play for Toronto. And this is a guy that still looks every day when he bounces into the room like he's the guy that won a contest to play for the Leafs, right? Like he's that happy to be here, and he has yet to lose that, and I don't think he will. So, you know, that's a great addition to the room. He just brings everyone else's spirits up, and he's been really effective. He's a straight-ahead Craig Berube type of player. He kills penalties. He's physical. He's big. He's reliable. He doesn't take penalties. He really has been a real solidifying part of the fourth line. Oliver Ekman-Larsson has shown versatility. He can move up and down the blue line wherever it might be that he needs to fill in, whether it's with Morgan Riley, whether it's on a third pairing, whether it's working on a power play a little bit. Just a really effective guy. And like, I don't know about you, Doug, if you noticed it last year, this guy's sneaky feisty. Like he's kind of mean and nasty. You don't think of him like that. But I was talking to Dave Tippett earlier because he played his 1,000th game earlier in the year. So put a big feature on him together. And I was talking to Dave Tippett, his first coach in Arizona back in the day. He's like, yeah, I've kind of noticed that develop into his game a little bit more lately. He said probably because he's an old grumpy man now. But that's a skill set that is highly desired here in Toronto. They need more of that type of thing. And Oliver's brought that. So he's been great. And like, holy cow, if Anthony Stolarz had played more games, he'd be in the race for the Vezina Trophy because he has been that good. And the encouraging sign to see when he got back in the lineup the other night against Seattle in the Leafs' second last game prior to the break, it looked, even though he had been off 2 months with the injury, as though he had not missed a beat. So that was really encouraging as well. And, you know, it's going to lead Craig Berube to a really difficult decision come game one of the playoffs as to who he taps on the shoulder.
Dave McCarthy, NHL.com, SiriusXM here with us. Funny you mentioned that with Oliver Ekman-Larsson, because my colleague here, Jameson Olive, and I, we talked a lot about noticing that element to Oliver's game last year. And obviously he played in the Western Conference prior. He played a lot of late night games, and maybe you weren't analyzing every little bit of his game night to night. Maybe you didn't notice that as much, but as a member of the Panthers, and it was a Panthers team that plays with a physical edge anyways, maybe he took on some of that, you know, maybe that was a product of being a Florida Panther last year and playing that style with the Panthers a year ago. But yeah, those three guys, like I said, wish them all the best, but great guys here, and they were all part of, you know, they're going to be part of South Florida sports lore for a long time to come, and they will always be members of that 2024 Stanley Cup championship team. Dave, the Atlantic Division as a whole, if we're going to look at this one, I think a lot of folks would tell you they, maybe not in the, maybe in no particular order, but they would have said the Panthers, the Leafs, the Lightning, maybe that was to be expected. Is there a surprise in your mind in the Atlantic currently? Could it be that Ottawa has maybe taken a bit of a step, not to pile on the Buffalo Sabres, but is it a surprise that they still look like they're back at square one, still trying to take that next step? Is there something in your mind that's been maybe the biggest surprise, something to watch down the stretch in the Atlantic Division specifically?
Yeah, the top three kind of look like we all expected. And, man, were those two big games for Tampa Bay last week when Ottawa came to town for a baseball series, right, where they played two games in Tampa Bay on the Tuesday and the Thursday, and Tampa won them both in regulation. Suddenly, when Tampa looked like they were falling into the pack, Ottawa has been their tendency at times. Every time you start to buy in, then they turn around and they lose three in a row. So that was a big swing in the standings. So the top three makes sense. Like Ottawa, I'm still not honestly convinced, just because they do seem to struggle with consistency. You know, they're at least in the mix this year, whereas in years past, generally by the end of November, it's season over with. So we'll see. But I wouldn't feel real confident placing a bet on them if you force me to. I guess from a negative standpoint, I am surprised at how lousy Buffalo is. Like, honest to God, I did not expect them to be that bad. And in the summertime, when people were asking me who I thought of the bottom four, Montreal, Detroit, Buffalo, and Ottawa might be able to burst through, Buffalo was my pick. But boy, have they ever proven me wrong. And it just looks like it's a disaster there yet again. And now with Dylan Cousins being suggested to be on a trade block, this guy's 23. He's a big guy. He's a center. He's got some ability. Like, why are you looking to trade that guy? Like, is it going to be Jack Eichel, Ryan O'Reilly, Sam Reinhart, speaking of somebody in your neck of the woods, all over again for somebody who gets Dylan Cousins? Like, it's
Brandon Montour in that mix.
Brandon Montour in that mix. Exactly. It's crazy. I guess my surprise would be Detroit. Like, when they made the coaching change at Christmas, I thought they were dead in the water. I really did. And since then, they've gone out and reeled off two different seven-game winning streaks, and they've had the best record in the league since replacing Derek Lalonde with Todd McClellan. So, again, I'm not confident that they're going to hold, but I am certainly surprised that they're playing meaningful games coming out of the break, because I didn't see any sign of life at all, you know, when they made that coaching change.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think Detroit looks like a team that might be ready to take that next step. And in mentioning the Buffalo Sabres, Dave, we're not going to spend a ton of time on them, but I didn't dislike the roster. I liked the blue line. I liked what they had in net. I thought there was more there, but it just hasn't come to fruition. I was right there with you on them.
It's one of those teams, I'll be brief here, where you look at the roster, like you said, and it's like, yeah, I like their depth at forward. Yeah, they got some good young players. They got some like real young quality center icemen, and Dylan Cousins and Tage Thompson showed an ability to play center. And it's like, yeah, there's some nice pieces there. And I think their blue line on paper looks like it should be a real pain to play against. Guys that are big and physical and guys who can move the puck. And all of that. And between the pipes, you know, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has shown at times to be a guy that looks like he's going to be really good. So on paper, it looks great. But for whatever reason, you look and you say, good player, good player, good player, good player. And then you put them all together as a group. And for whatever reason, the mix does not work. So I don't have the answer in Buffalo, I'll tell you. But it looks like they're a long ways off yet again.
Yeah, it looked like they could be ticketed for the lottery once again. But the Atlantic Division, again, looking like maybe we could see five teams out of the Atlantic. We'll just have to wait and see how everything plays out there. Dave McCarthy, NHL Network Radio and NHL.com here with us. And a couple quick ones here before we let you get going. Dave, going off the board here a little bit. You know, you've been on the show before, but a lot of folks out there, since we have time, because there's no NHL action coming up tonight, we have a little bit more of this break left before things resume a week from today in the Panthers case. But Dave, a lot of folks out there, they ask me, how'd you get into this business? How'd you start doing it? If you had to give a young aspiring media personality out there a bit of advice, what would be the biggest piece of advice from Dave McCarthy to a young guy or girl looking to get into this business?
No, that's a great question. And here's what I'd say. Firstly, the answer better never be no when you get asked to do something before you've established be yourself. If you're coming out of school and, you know, you're interning or you just got your foot in the door and you've been there for 6 months or so and you get asked to do something, hey, look, this business, you and I, Doug, both know, if you're looking for consistency in your work schedule, it's not for you. So if you're not ready to make that sacrifice, I would suggest that you seek employment opportunities elsewhere. When you get asked to do something, the answer better be yes. It better not be, you know what, I go to the cottage on the weekends. You know what, I go out on Friday nights. Oh, really? Okay. Because it's amazing how quickly, once you get that opportunity and you get asked, if it's no, then someone moves past you and it's very difficult to get asked that again. So that's a huge part of it, I think. And then just be willing to outlast people, like grind away. It's never glamorous. We look and we see, you know, the top people on TV. If you know you're a football fan, you see Al Michaels or whatever it might be, or you see you know, guys that cover hockey at the top level, and you think, oh, okay, well, I just want to be that guy. Well, it's pretty hard to get to that level, and the guys who are at that level are not interested in going anywhere generally all that quickly. So, you know, how can you make yourself indispensable? How can you make yourself somebody that has value? What are you bringing to the table? What's your level of commitment? What's your work ethic? Are you a good, like, it sounds kind of cliche sportish, right? But like, are you a good teammate? Gone are the days of, you know, the network anchor being a jackass and that being acceptable. Are you good to work with? Do you help folks out? You know, that is really, really important, because I'll tell you, when we get interns in the shop and, you know, you ask for something perfectly reasonable, like, hey, can you monitor this game and cut the goals, cut some big saves? And if there's anything else of note, let me know and mark it down. And you come back and you get like one goal cut. It's like, did you cut anything? Oh, yeah, I cut it. Oh, really? Because it was a 7-6 game and I see three clips here. Oh, is that not enough? No, it's not, right? Like, oh, sorry. Oh, it's 10 o'clock. I'm going now. Oh, yeah, well, fine, sure. Like, that's a mindset that I see a lot, man. And I tell you, when it comes time for me to recommend to my boss who we should hire, that name does not come up very quickly. That I can tell you. So think of it like a team. Think of it. Yeah, we've all played sports. Who were the teammates that you liked? And it's really not unlike that in our business nowadays. You know, that's what I'd say. It's not an easy business to get into. It's not necessarily glamorous really at any time. Like, there are some fun parts of it, but it's certainly not all glamour all the time. You got to love it. And if you do, then it's for you. But if you're not willing to answer yes resoundingly to those questions, then it may not be for you.
And on top of that, make the most of every single opportunity. You hit on so many things that that always come to my mind, too, when I think of just the basic advice I'd give to somebody. Dave McCarthy, NHL Network Radio, NHL.com, kind enough to stop by. Dave, what's coming up on the brunch, and where can the folks find you out on the different platforms? Dave McCarthy does host the Sunday brunch on SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio, and does a fine job of it. Dave, what do you have coming up this week?
Well, you soon, since the Leafs and the Panthers are playing three times here before the end of the regular season. Now, we don't talk just Leafs on the show. Let me be clear. We cover the league. But I generally like to go to teams that I've seen in person recently. It's because then you can speak more confidently on a team that you've seen up close personal. So you soon, so mark that down. We'll be in touch. We'll have my people call your people, Doug, okay?
Sounds good to me.
Just so you know. But this Sunday, we've got Andy O'Brien, who is a trainer, who trains guys like Nathan MacKinnon and Mitch Marner, and a lot of guys that are participating in the Four Nations. So we'll get him on. We'll talk about if he works with any of his guys to sort of zero in on certain training methods for short tournaments and how you manage a little bit of a layoff. And make sure you're still at your peak once you get up and running again, all those little nuances. And we'll get his thoughts on the tournament as well, just watching the pace. And I'm sure it's going to be breathtaking, really, when you see guys at this level going at it. So we'll get Andy O'Brien on, and we'll also talk to, speaking of what we were just doing, now that you got a little bit more time, given the fact that the NHL schedule is on pause, I got a little bit more time too. Like, we only talk about the Four Nations for so long. I'm going to talk to Per Mars. Have you ever heard of Mars Blades, Doug?
I feel like it rings a bell.
Okay, so
he's overseas, right?
That's right. He's in Sweden from Östersund, and he developed a roller blade, which would be great for folks down in Florida, that mimics an ice skate in that it has a rocker in terms of how the boot is attached to, in this case, the wheels, where your feet kind of go back and forth a little bit on the wheels to mimic the same type of stride as ice skating. And we talked to a lot of guys. I was talking to Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who tried them and said he really notices how it mimics the stride on ice as it does on rollers. Typical rollers are very stiff. And when you get back on skates, Oliver said it screws up your stride. These don't do that. So he's developed those, but he's also developed an ice skate holder as well that a number of guys are starting to use in the NHL. And he's got some revolutionary technology that he's been telling me about that I really do think as the years go on, he's got a ton of junior guys wearing them now. Old farts, they don't want to change their equipment, right? But once the new generation comes up, a lot of guys wearing this technology, they actually did a university-level peer-reviewed study that has data to support the claims that they're making about what the skates offer them in terms of injury mitigation. It puts less tension on your hips, your knees. So there's a lot of different benefits, and he's going to come on, Per Mars from Östersund, Sweden, on Sunday. Tell us a little bit more about the new technology that he's developed with skates that the folks at Mars Blades feel are going to be pretty standard in a relatively short period of time. So it should be interesting to hear what Per has to say.
Well, we look forward to that and everything. Dave McCarthy, SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. You can hear him every Sunday there on the Sunday Brunch. You can catch him on NHL.com. I would imagine your press box seat hasn't changed. Should I expect you to be right in front of me when we get up there to Toronto coming up in March?
That's the best part of my seat. It's like I get to listen to all my buddies who do the away radio call, except I don't need a radio because you're just above me. It's
right
the best.
There.
So I'll be looking, you'll be looking right down on me, and I'll be sure to turn around and give you the eye every now and again.
Well, it's always great to see you there. Always great to talk to you. And you can find him on X and Instagram. He always says it on the air, Dave A. McCarthy, right? That's where everybody can find you out there. I always hear it. Dave, thanks so much for stopping by. We thank you very much for your time, and we look forward to catching up with you later on the season when those three big Panthers-Leafs clashes take place.
Beautiful. Thanks for having me. It was a real treat, Doug.
Dave McCarthy, SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio, NHL.com. Great work. Look for him there. Folks, we're going to step aside. We'll come back a little bit more of the Panthers Insider Show on the other side of the break. This is the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.
Time for more of the Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Back here on the Panthers Insider Show, Doug Plagans with you. Big thanks once again to Dave McCarthy from SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio, and NHL.com for stopping by last segment. You can find all his stuff, Twitter and Instagram, Dave A. McCarthy, and you can tune into his show every Sunday morning on SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio. Let's get to a couple of notes here before we wrap up the program. Quickly, though, a reminder, the Baptist Health Iceplex at FTL War Memorial, it's open and ready for you. Register today for public skate sessions, hockey programs, kids and adults, curling, and more. Come enjoy this brand-new community gem in the heart of downtown Fort Lauderdale. Go to ftlwarmemorial.com for all the program details and to sign up. Impressive facility, great practice facility for the Panthers, but it's not just a practice facility for the Panthers, something the whole community can use out there at the FTL War Memorial, ftlwarmemorial.com for all the info. And first time franchise history, a wait list for territory memberships. Join the wait list today. Secure your priority spot in line for season tickets. Go to floridapanthers.com/waitlist or call 954-835-PUCK. Well, as far as the Four Nations face-off,
is concerned, you've got all four teams playing today. Finland, Sweden, 1 o'clock Eastern. A lot riding on that one for each of those two teams. Neither one picked up a win in their first games of the tournament, so really a must win for Finland and Sweden. Five different Panthers players in action in that one, so you don't want to miss it. 1 o'clock today and then 8 o'clock tonight, the big North American showdown. USA, Canada, 8 o'clock Eastern. You've got Reinhardt, you've got Bennett on the Canada side, you've got Matthew Tkachuk on the Team USA side. That's going to be a fun one. Those two teams won their first games of the tournament. And then coming up on Monday, you'll have all four teams in action once again, Canada, Finland, Sweden, and the USA. The championship game of the tournament is set for Thursday evening in Boston, so we'll see how things play out. We'll see who's going to meet up for the Four Nations face-off championship game later on in the week. And then we'll get back to National Hockey League business, the Panthers and the Seattle Kraken, when the Panthers resume the schedule a week from tonight at 6 o'clock at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise. FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. At the break right now, the Panthers, through 57 games, 71 points. They lead the Atlantic Division. Toronto right behind them, 3 points back with a couple of games in hand. The Panthers, though, by virtue of point percentage, they do have the top spot in the Atlantic. You know, there were some times where you had the Panthers leading in points, Toronto leading in point percentage, and had the edge by virtue of a tiebreaker. But right now, Panthers 71 points to Toronto's 68. Panthers with the Atlantic Division lead. Tampa Bay holding down that third spot in the Atlantic Division of the Eastern Conference. On the other side, Washington, Carolina, New Jersey. Those are your three teams in the guaranteed spots in the Metro Division. The two wildcard teams currently both from the Atlantic, Ottawa and Detroit. That's what the playoff picture currently looks like in the National Hockey League's Eastern Conference. And it's going to be a sprint to the finish. The Panthers, 25 games left in the regular season, and they'll kick off that 25-game sprint a week from tonight when Seattle comes to town. That's it for us here on this edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Big thanks, Dan Day, on the other side of the glass. Big thanks, Dave McCarthy, for stopping by the program this week. Big thanks to all of you for tuning in. I'm Doug Plagans. It's the Panthers Insider Show. We thank you very much for being a part of it here today. Panthers and the Kraken, when the Panthers get back to business, coming up a week from tonight. This has been Panthers Insider right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network, presented by Baptist Health.